God, please, God, please. Oh my God. Oh my God, please let me out of here. Please, God. Please, God, please let me out of here. Please, God. Please. Oh my God. 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 What am I doing? Oh my God. Oh my God, please, please help me. Please help me. Please, God. Please let me out.
What you just heard is not audio from a porn movie or a slasher flick. That's a woman driving straight through fire on a winding and treacherous road in the Santa Monica Mountains. Most of the time, it's one of the most scenic drives in the world. But for the past few days, it's been living hell. She made it, by the way, and so did the horses she was trying to save. But it was close. Damn close. If you're a regular listener, you know I've got a thing for the apocalypse. One of my very first shows and the most downloaded of all time was Larry Preps, Episode 7, way back in January of 2017. Since then, we've covered many other end-of-day scenarios, plagues, nuclear war, and more. But, silly me, I've overlooked the omnipresent catastrophe right in my own backyard. Brush fires. They have been many other parts of the world. I recall vast tracts of Florida burning some years back, which is tough to understand because the whole state is a swamp. But I doubt the Florida fires are as lethal as the ones here because Florida is flat. Here, the canyons and mountains provide the topography that mimics blast furnaces and narrow, winding roads without guardrails that are tough to drive in daylight, never mind at night, in thick smoke. One wrong turn, and you're hundreds of feet below the roadbed at the bottom of a canyon. Why does anybody live in Los Angeles? We're all like battered spouses. In the fall, we get burned out. In the spring, we get flooded or buried in mudslides. In between, we get shaken by earthquakes. But then we forgive and say how when it's good, it's great. And it is. The best climate on earth. Picturesque as hell. One of the few places where you can ski in the morning and swim in the ocean the same afternoon. But when it's bad, it's hideous. The city beats us to a pulp, and we wind up in the ER. But once the sutures come out and the bruises fade, Los Angeles comes slinking back to us on its knees with a rose in its teeth, and other gifts found nowhere else, like months of perfect days where it's 72 degrees with a slight breeze and light puffy clouds, and you can see Catalina or mile-high snow-capped mountains, and evenings where the scent of night jasmine is so thick and sweet it almost makes you high. But then there's insufferable traffic, and crushing taxes, and water and power bills, and everybody from waiters to brain surgeons thinks they have talent and good looks, and are expecting their big Hollywood break at any moment. And if they're not wannabe movie stars, they're wannabe screenwriters. Screenwriters, never novelists. Why is that? Well, a novel requires at least 100,000 words. A screenplay is mostly white space, maybe 110 pages at most and 7,500 to 9,000 words. It's a lot less work. But that's L.A., the place where everyone is looking for an easy kill. So at this moment, this massive fire, which has consumed about 150 square miles and hundreds of homes and businesses and probably 1,000 cars, is still raging and still whipped by whistling Santa Ana winds. I can hear them right outside the dojo now. Those winds have been blowing for several weeks now. Here's a recording of them I made right here for episode 135, Devil Winds. Kind of spooky, right? Try sleeping as you listen to those winds and wonder if they're blowing hot embers onto your roof or shrubs and if you'll be running for your life. That's spooky. Of course, no place is perfect. Every place has some misery nature throws at you. But these fires maybe beats them all. You might ride out a tornado in your basement, or a tsunami in your boat, or a hurricane in some really well-built structure. When these fires sweep through, the only thing left standing is fireplaces and chimneys. That's it. People have some remarkable outlooks about disaster. The half-full, half-empty choice. On the news last night, they interviewed two women who had both lost their homes. One was in tears, said she felt as if her life was over. The other was smiling, said she viewed it as a clean slate, kind of a rebirth. Wow. So how would we react to an apocalypse? Probably much differently than we'd like to imagine, right? Action heroes just blow through that wall of flame in their Humvee or dually, laying down machine gun fire as they chomp a cigar and growl fuck you through their teeth. And they always come through on the other side. And when they do, no matter the obstacle, bullets, fire, car wreck, fist fights, it looks as if they fought a mountain lion. The only real damage they sustain is a shredded shirt. Strategically shredded to showcase triceps and biceps. Ever notice that? Maybe I've named a new cinema trope, the shredded shirt action flick. In real life or death situations, we'd probably resemble that woman we heard at the top of the show. A repetitive prayer said as we hyperventilate to keep from puking. By the way, you can see that video of the woman driving through fire on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. It's really extraordinary. Shipwreck, plane crash, avalanche, tsunami, hurricane, tornado, blizzard, Ebola, car wreck, earthquake. There are a fuck ton of ways to go besides illness or old age, aren't there? At least these cataclysms of nature offer us some possibility of heroism. I was once at a business lunch and the boss began to choke on an olive. He was a 22-carat prick. Nobody liked him. We called him the squirrel because he resembled one. No one was in any hurry to jump up and Heimlich this asshole, so we watched him turn purple and flail like a sparrow just kicked out of the nest. Then this other guy, he'd only been hired a few weeks before. He put the squirrel in a bear hug and squeezed, and a green olive flew from his mouth as if by slingshot and hit an oil painting on the wall. It was one of Manhattan's fanciest joints. Everyone in the place stopped and stared. Then, a smattering of applause, which grew to quite a crescendo. When the hubbub died down, the squirrel turned to the dude who had just saved his life and gave him some shit like, "What did you do that for? I would have been okay." We all looked at each other. Had he not have been Heimlich'd, he would have been fucking dead. No question about it. To further prove what a thankless little shit he was, within a month, he fired his savior. I suppose having that kid around just reminded him of how mortal he was, so he had to go. If you talk to an actuary, he'll tell you you're a lot more likely to check out in some ignoble fashion, like a bathtub fall or an olive in your throat or a plain old cardiac episode, than in any of those catastrophes I mentioned before. But still, most dudes would opt for Armageddon. A chance to go out shooting and cursing. A blaze of glory with, what soundtrack accompanying your demise? A hugely successful rock song covers that concept with fantastic music and perhaps the most moronic lyrics, Bon Jovi's Wanted, Dead or Alive. Richie Sambora's guitar intro is kick-ass, as is the entire arrangement. But then you realize the The song is really about rock stars facing the danger of horny groupies. And the video, John and Richie saddling up a private jet. It's just beyond dopey. Check these lyrics. I walk these streets, a loaded six-string on my back. I play for keeps, 'cause I might not make it back. I've been everywhere, and still I'm standing tall. I've seen a million faces, and I've rocked them all. Whoa, where does that kind of courage come from? I have to believe those guys did the song as a goof, but it probably sold platinum. Nice goof. But still, it strikes a chord, if you will, in the male psyche. And that's going out on your terms, with more dignity, with a fighting chance and some pyrotechnics. Maybe the author James Thurber, with his short story, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, covered this idea first. If you've not read the story, it's about an average guy living an average life who has all these fantastic adventures. Fighter pilot, surgeon, trial of the century attorney, all these adventures in his head while he's shopping for groceries with his wife. They made a movie of it back in 2013 with Ben Stiller. I haven't seen it. But it's a theme that's not going away because there's a massive adventure deficit in the lives of men, isn't there? Our keyboard economy will continue to metastasize as jobs that require skill, strength, and bravery continue to diminish. They're predicting that truck drivers will be replaced by self-driving semis. They've had a robocop patrolling the streets of Dubai for over a year now. Drones are replacing fighter pilots, and more military positions require a finger trained on a mouse than a trigger. In every two-fisted macho field, the jobs are vanishing as robotics and advanced machines replace them. So millions of dudes who would have once been harpooning whales or roping cattle or clearing forest or jungles, these guys are marooned in cubicles, wearing headsets and tapping keyboards as their muscles atrophy. It almost seems as if natural disasters will be the last refuge for guys that don't want to fly a desk. Right now, there are thousands of firefighters in L.A., some from faraway states, doing an incredibly dangerous job they've not yet managed to automate. All around town, you hear people saying how these guys arrive on scene in a flash and knock down fires with tremendous speed and save people's homes. There has got to be a hell of a lot more fulfillment in that than resolving a billing discrepancy at MasterCard. But you would think that in time, they'll have drone tanker planes and choppers they can send in to suppress a fire. And if those crash, well, it was only money. Same for bulldozers and the other ground equipment and personnel. As you watch endless footage of these fires on local TV, you almost see a longing on the faces of some of the dudes doing the reporting. They look as if they would like to be part of those firefighting crews. Decades from now, the TV reporter can tell his kids or his grandchildren, "Yeah, I reported on that fire." Whereas the firefighters can say, "I fought that fire. I stopped that fire." Big difference. They used to call it man's work. Not that women can't do it. There are probably more than a few women on those fire lines, but overwhelmingly, it's men. And not because of any glass ceiling or hiring discrimination. It's just a job that is going to attract more males than females. But it looks like jobs for men who not only want to accomplish something but crave an element of risk and danger, those jobs are disappearing. Which is why video games make more than double what movies do. Who wants to watch some Jason Statham in the shredded shirt when you can put on VR goggles and be the hero in the shredded shirt? And while we're talking action stars, where are the new ones? For decades, there was an unbroken chain of action stars, huh? John Wayne and Eastwood and Charles Bronson and Stallone and Bruce Willis and Arnold. And all those guys are old or dead. And the new guard, Dwayne Johnson, Mark Wahlberg, Jason Statham, they're all middle-aged. Sorry, I don't consider Matt Damon an action star. I consider him a pussy. But even he's pushing 50. Hollywood is full of assholes, but some of them are smart assholes. Maybe they're just abandoning the whole action movie genre, not because they can't find a believable tough guy among the soy boy stars, but because video games simply serve the action market exponentially better. Red Dead Redemption 1 and 2, right? Arthur Morgan and John Marston will never get old, or be hashtag Me Too goats, or be afraid of guns in real life, or make stupid political tweets, or demand a raise. The adventure deficit continues to grow. There will always be fires and shipwrecks and wars and hurricanes, but if they find a way to control those, well, we'd better start hoping for alien invasions, nuclear winters, monsters from radioactive mutations, asteroids the size of Texas, and so on. A couple of years back, some people tried to do an actual apocalypse theme park. They built a little fake town and called it Judgment. Trouble was, they gave it a biblical flavor, and that sort of hobbled it right out of the gate. It never went anywhere. But if someone can come up with the real deal, a disaster-themed theme park where you can pick your calamity and level of bravery from reasonable to kamikaze, they'll probably make a ton of money and sell a lot of pre-shredded shirts. Or they could just make a waiting list of guys who would like to volunteer to help the LA Fire Department. In any given fall, you could get a lifetime of adventure doing that. It's been a stressful week here in the city without a soul, but I'll be back with you this weekend for Sinner's Sunday. If you've not yet joined us there, stop by the chapel every Sunday, where there's always cold beer, hot ribs, and unlimited refills of truth. We've got a take on things spiritual you will not find anywhere else. If you'd like to help this show grow, you can throw us a nice review on iTunes or slide over to patreon.com/thatlarryshow for access to 24 bonus episodes and signed books and custom recordings and the fellowship of others like you who believe in the credo of take no shit. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com, and until next time, may all your adventures be thrilling.